Okay, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to those who are listening with us today. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we bless you and we thank you, Father, for this wonderful week. We thank you for your Shabbat and we thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter your rest. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will lead this study. We pray for those who might be suffering or sick in the congregation. And Father, we pray for your work from Jerusalem to the nations, and that you would continue to bring your redemption to this earth. We thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. And we give you all praise and honor and glory. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, last week we had finished Revelation chapter 5. And like I said, now we're getting into the meat of the book of Revelation. You know, we started with explaining whose revelation it is, explaining letters to the congregations with messages, and then we were going over about the scroll that no one was able to open, and then Yeshua, the Lamb of Yahweh, comes and opens the scroll. And now we're up to chapter 6, where really this is where the action really starts to happen. This is where, like I said, if you look at a scroll, right? Today we have books that are bound. Like we said, the Bible was bound. That's why it's called the Bible, because it was bound in Byblos, Lebanon, the first book to be bound. But in ancient time, we had scrolls. We had paper that was rolled up, papyrus paper. And this scroll has seven seals. And we're going to read here now in chapter 6 of Revelation how each seal will be opened. And then once it was opened up, it had writing on this side and writing on that side. I'm not going to go into that again because we went into it last week. What that means, usually scrolls are not written on two sides very rarely, but this one is. And again, I won't rehash on that. So here we are, chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And a lot, like I said, a lot of action happening here now in this chapter. And as we'll see as we go over this today, a really actually interesting chapter to happen at this time, because yesterday we just had Israel's Independence Day, 70 years of being a nation, as we're going to see how it ties into the Bible study today. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures, like a sound of thunder, saying, "Come and see." And Revelation is written with a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of hyperbole. There's a lot of things, as we'll see, even when we get into later in this chapter with certain things. But at the same rate, you know, when you really think about it, there's no other book in the Bible that even remotely comes in like this book of Revelation. And just to think, you know, that here it is, the last chapter, the very throne of Yahweh is being described and telling about what this throne is like, these creatures around the throne, what they're doing. And I mean, in our wildest dreams of you as human beings, we can only, you know, Paul talks about looking through a glass half darkened. And here you could say you look through a glass probably 99% darkened. Because what is it like? The sound of thunder, you know, one of these four living creatures, the sound of thunder saying, "Come and see." And you can only picture if you were there and you're seeing this, and seeing Yeshua opening one of the seals and hearing the four living creatures and what his voice would have sounded like in this sea of glass around the throne of Yahweh. And then he's coming with this message that is about our day, about right now, about that we're living in this right now. And verse 2 says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out overcoming, and that he might overcome." So this is where we get started with what is traditionally called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There's actually seven seals, but the four horsemen we're going to go into, the first four seals kind of come all together, and they're generally in one title, you could say, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, through the ages, many Christian commentaries believe that this man coming on the white horse is Yeshua. And it can't be. Number one, if you look at Yahweh's pattern, right? What is Yahweh's pattern? In his pattern, there's always a warning before judgment. So you'll never see in the Bible where judgment will come without warning. There's always a warning, and then the judgment comes. And in the same way, what we see here, we see when we're looking at the end time events, who comes first, the Messiah or the anti-Messiah? Well, we're going to see it's very clear that the anti-Messiah comes before the Messiah. That Yahweh allows, we'll get into Revelation 13, probably a few months down the line, but the whole chapter of Revelation 13 is about the beast power in the anti-Messiah ruling on this earth for 42 months. And that happens before Yeshua comes back to this earth. It's almost inconceivable to think how we're going to survive that time. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. Yahweh will bring some of the remnant who's alive at that time into the wilderness. Possibly it could be a place like Sela that we've been to before and will be again there this year in Jordan. Maybe another place, maybe several places he'll have his people. But one thing is certain is that the anti-Messiah comes before the Messiah. And as we're going to see with these four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, the war and the famine and the pestilence and then the death, that this is not something Yeshua is bringing. Yeshua doesn't come. He's coming to bring world peace. He's coming to, after all the destruction, and of course, he is coming to destroy all his enemies. We see that in Zechariah 14. I'm not going to go there because today we're not talking about his return. We're talking about the coming of the anti-Messiah. And that's why he's coming on a white horse. The colors in Scripture, just like the numerology in Scripture, is very symbolic. We said last week, all the sevens that you see, you know, seven this, you know, in the book of Revelation, you have multiple tens of sevens that go throughout the whole book because it's showing Yahweh's completeness. It's showing Yahweh's totality of everything. So the same thing here, when we see the white horse, the red horse, the black horse and the green horse, pale colored green horse. Each color is going to represent something. And white actually represents the false Messiah. It represents a false peace. So in Revelation 6 here, when we're looking at these seals, we're not looking at the Messiah coming and fixing everything. No, you've got seven seals, then which are going to go over a quarter of the earth. And then you have seven trumpets, which go over a third of the earth. And then you have seven bowls, the wrath of Yahweh, that goes over the whole earth. So before the Messiah is coming to fix everything on the earth, you're having a lot of bad things happen first. Now, it's also interesting because in Zechariah 9:9, and maybe I'll go there for a minute, we see one of the messianic prophecies, Zechariah 9:9. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous and being victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, even on a colt, the son of a donkey." And we know when Yeshua came, that's what he did. When he came into his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, that's what he did. He came riding on a colt. And who was the one who came riding on the big white horse? It was Alexander the Great, you know, who went 12 years, he conquered the world all the way from Greece to Mongolia and did something that nobody had ever done to that point. A young general conquered the whole world in such a short period of time. But he came and he was a type of the anti-Messiah, Alexander the Great, and he came riding on this big white horse. Because the white horse represents false peace. And that's the first thing is we're going to see here, which is going to come, that there is going to be a false peace that's going to be pushed on Israel. And we're going to see that the anti-Messiah, he comes with intrigues, you know. He's a weasel. He's a sneaky guy. He's not the Messiah. So he's coming by intrigues, but he's also coming through war. He's bringing false peace. It's almost like you see the United States today, right? The United States claims that they are the greatest nation on earth and they have some kind of moral equivalency to everybody else. And yet, if you look at the only country on the face of the earth that has ever used atomic weapons, it's the United States. They dropped a bomb and killed 500,000 people at once, you know, in Japan. And even recently, just last week, you know, they bombed Syria. Now we're finding out that there was no chemical attack. They had people go up there and check it out, and it was a false flag. There was no chemical attack. It was actually the rebels who made believe and filmed because they were trying to get out of there because the Assad army had come in and taken over the place the day before. They thought they were all going to get slaughtered, and they made it up. I don't want to get too much off the course here, but we see it. We see that through history, that false leaders will come sometimes, you know, and they'll be like that. They'll bring false peace, but that's what the white horse is representing. It's representing the anti-Messiah. It's not representing the Messiah. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, because what we're going to see here is, in Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, which is Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, it actually parallels the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So if we go to Matthew 24, let the Bible interpret the Bible, right? What we see is Matthew 24, 4 and 5. Yeshua's sitting there. I'll start in verse 3 maybe. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, the end of the age?" Right? That's what he's talking about. "And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So they're not asking him when the temple's going to be destroyed. They're not asking him when, you know, Israel was going to, the Romans were going to attack them then. This is a prophecy very, very clearly that they're asking him about the end of the age and his return to the earth. I don't even think they understood it, so the Holy Spirit had to inspire it when they didn't even understand it. And here's his answer. "In answering, Yeshua said to them, 'See that no man deceives you.'" So the first thing he's telling them is about deception, right? "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will cause many to be deceived." So the first thing we see over here is false religion, right? False Messiah, false religion. And that's what the anti-Messiah is going to bring. He's going to bring a false religion. He's going to bring a, you know, where it's going to look like there's world peace. Whoever is against this man is stopping world peace, but he really is not bringing peace to the world. It's a false peace that's coming. So deception is the first thing. And yet, like I said, if you talk to probably 95 out of 100 pastors, and you ask them about Revelation 6, they'll all tell you that it's Yeshua riding on the white horse. Because they don't understand that the first thing that comes is deception. And not only by the anti-Messiah. I mean, in the days we're living in, it talks about in Thessalonians that the end will not come unless there is a great rebellion and a great falling away. And we're living through that. I'm telling you, as somebody who has been in the faith for 35 years and came through the Church of God, through the structured part of Yahweh's congregation, where at that point they had over 150,000 people keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. They were the largest holy day and Sabbath keeping organization on the earth at that point, and more than 100,000 members and very organized all over the world. And now, when we look today, even though, praise Yahweh, our congregation is growing, and we can't keep up. I mean, every week, this week alone, there's probably close to 100 baptisms that elders were writing me about. And every week, men are going out and people being baptized, sometimes in the thousands, you know, that we see in certain areas. But overall in the world, people aren't coming to faith, they're falling away, particularly in Western society. You don't see a lot of people coming to faith. You see it's the Laodicean era. You see a lot of people out on their own, not wanting to be under headship or part of a congregation. And this is all part of the white horse. So the white horse is here to a degree. Now, how worse will it get? I don't know. I know that the red horse and the black horse and the green horse are going to get a lot worse. But we already see the beginning of these things, as we'll see as we get into these different things here. Revelation 19, when Yeshua returns, though, we see it in Revelation 19, almost toward the end of the book. Revelation 19 and verse 11. "And I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse," right? So what happens? Almost everything we see in Scripture is Satan counterfeiting Yahweh. Whether it's the Temple Mount, he counterfeits Yahweh. The real temple was in the city of David. He counters where Fort Antonio was. But everything. You know, he counters the Sabbath with Sunday. He counters resurrection with Easter. Every single thing that Yahweh does, Satan counters it with some falsehood. And all the falsehood, there's a part of the truth. Like I said, if a counterfeit didn't look real, then nobody would fall for it. So he counterfeits it with that. So Yeshua is coming with a white horse, but way later. heaven being open, behold a white horse, and he's sitting on it, having been called faithful and true. You don't see that over here with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And he judges and makes war in righteousness. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns and many titles written on it. And one of the titles that he had written, no man knew but he himself. And having been clothed in a garment which had been dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. So we know it's Yeshua. And the armies in heaven followed on white horses, being dressed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. We're going to see this. We saw it in Revelation chapter 1. That with it he might smite the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the wine of the anger of the wrath of Yahweh Almighty. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name having been written, King of Kings and Master of Masters. So this is when Yeshua is returning. It's very clear. There's no doubt about it. But over here we just see, and behold a white horse, and one sitting on it and had a bow. A bow. Why? Because he's bringing a false peace. You know, he's not bringing a real peace. And a crown was given to him. Yeah, the anti-Messiah will rule for 42 months. And he went out overcoming, and that he might overcome. If we look at Revelation 13, in verse 7, this is talking about the anti-Messiah. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, the sanctified ones, and to overcome them. Right? What does it say here? And he went out overcoming, and that he might overcome. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. And we know from before that, for 42 months. So he's allowed to overcome. If we go to Daniel, the 7th chapter, let's go to the book of Daniel. Because this Daniel explains a lot about this false Messiah who's coming, this false king, the anti-Messiah. Daniel 7 and verse 20. Also of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking great things, and its appearance was greater than his fellows. And I was looking, and that horn made war with the saints and overcame them. So in Daniel, he's called the little horn. Remember last week we talked about horns. What are they? Horns represent authority. A horn represents authority. And this is called the little horn. Because the devil literally is going to embody a human being, but it will be Satan, and he's going to make war with the saints, and he's going to overcome them. Daniel 8 in verse 9. And out of one of them came a little horn, which became very great, toward the south and toward the east and toward the bountiful land, toward Jerusalem. And it became great even to the host of heaven, and it caused some of the hosts and the stars to fall to the ground, and it trampled them. We see that in Revelation, in Revelation 12, when we get to there, we'll see there's war in heaven, and Satan is with his demons are fighting with the archangel Michael and the cherubs of Yahweh, and there's war. There's going to be war, and I don't know if human beings will see like shooting stars, or we'll see some kind of thing that we'll know that's happening, but clearly it's happening there, and some of the hosts of the stars to fall to the ground. And it trampled them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the leader of the host. Just like we see in Isaiah 14. You know, Lucifer, Satan, he's ascending to the throne of Yahweh. And saying, I will be like the Most High. I will be like Yahweh. And the continual sacrifice was taken away by him. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So, many people don't understand what this continual sacrifice is. But literally, the continual sacrifice is about Yahweh's grace on the earth. And like we know from the Bible, it says today it rains on the just like the unjust. But in this day, when Yahweh takes his grace from the earth, it's going to be a nasty time. We know that the world is going to reject Yeshua as the Messiah. They're going to accept the anti-Messiah, and Yahweh's grace will be removed. And it's going to be the most awful time the world has ever known. And for the believers, they're going to have to make it through for 42 months. Verse 20, if you drop down to verse 20, says, the ram which you saw with two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, right? The Russians and the Iranians. Who are the ones who destroyed Babylon? The Medes and the Persians, the Russians and Iranians. What's happening today in Syria, right? Who's fighting up there in Syria? And who just made the alliance with Russia and Iran? Turkey. Turkey. I've been saying it for years, and we'll probably put an article in our next Remnants Walk on Turkey, the Ottoman Empire. You know, the resurrected Ottoman Empire. Because people don't understand that the Ottoman Empire goes back to 1517. And the whole Muslim conquest that comes from there. And the caliph that came, the last caliph, was an Ottoman. And that Ottoman Empire, who are the descendants of Esau, it's going to be resurrected again. You know, we see it because in the Psalm 83 war, if you look at all 10 of those nations, every one was part of the old Ottoman Empire. And Turkey is coming again and allying itself with, wow, with the kings of the Medes and the Persians. So it's amazing to see today that all this stuff is coming about as we talk. And the shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king. And as far as that which was shattered, and four stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in its power. This is after the war. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the apostasy has been complete, a king strong of face and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. It's going to be controlled by Satan. And he shall destroy wondrously, and he shall prosper in work and destroy the powerful and the holy people. So we know this is going to be a terrible time, the time of Jacob's trouble. He'll be after Israelites and Jews and the people of Yahweh. And also through his policy, he will make deceit succeed in his land, and he will lift himself up in his heart. And by peace, he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be shattered without a hand. So, and by peace, he will destroy many. Because Satan doesn't bring real peace. The United Nations, they're not bringing real peace. The United Nations, that tiny little organization, you know, that is run by Satan, has more resolutions against this tiny land of Israel than all the other countries in the world put together. You know, like, look, you have Syria. Look at you've had hundreds of thousands of people, I think 400,000 people, many children and women, that have been slaughtered. There's one or two resolutions about Syria. But Israel, they blow their nose the wrong way, and then there's going to be a resolution in this thing. So this is the beast power. This is what we're seeing. This is the white horse. This is all part of the white horse. And by peace, he will destroy many. Why? Because he's going to bring a false peace to Israel. Because there's going to be a war that's going to come, and Israel is going to be weakened by that war, and they will be forced to enter this peace deal. There is no way when World War III comes, and what it's going to do to the world is we're going to see a fourth of the people on this planet are going to be dead. There's going to be famine and war and pestilence. These are all part of the horsemen of the apocalypse. There'll be no way on earth that Israel will be able to not accept the peace terms that are going to be given to them at the end of this war. They will make the Palestinian state. They are going to divide the land, but it's not going to be a good thing. Daniel 9 and verse 27. And he shall confirm who the anti-Messiah will confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. 1 7, the last seven, remember? Daniel's 9 prophecy is 77s or 490 years. We've had 483 of those sevens until the Messiah came. And now 483 years out of the 490, and then Messiah was here for the first part of the last seven, and now he's making an agreement for one more seven, but then the agreement will be broken in the middle. And it will cause the sacrifice and offering to cease, and on the most outer corners abominations by a desolator, even until the end. And that which was decreed shall be poured out on the desolator. So what he's going to try to do is going to come back to him. Let's go to Zechariah 1 now, because like I said, this is very interesting, and it just so happened that our Bible study this week is on this, about what's happening here in Israel, because like I said, yesterday was the 70th anniversary of the modern nation of Israel. Zechariah 1 in verse 3 and 4 says, "Therefore you say to them, so says Yahweh of hosts, turn back to me, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will turn back to you, says Yahweh." The book of Zechariah, unbelievable book. 14 chapters in this book, most of it about the end time. The things that aren't about the end time are about what happened when Israel came back to the land at first, leading into the end time. But most of this is about the end time. And amazing stuff. The return of Yeshua to the Mount of Olives, what Yahweh's doing in the end time, Israel being a nation again. But this is what he's saying. He's telling that Yahweh's angry. Verse 2, Yahweh has been angry with your fathers, very angry. And he's telling them, turn back to him and he'll turn back. You know, and this is what needed to happen before Israel became a nation again in the modern times. That they needed to turn back to Yahweh. And yet, we know that Israel hasn't totally turned back to Yahweh. And we know that Israel, even though they've been blessed at their country here, you can't say that Israel overall has been totally blessed by Yahweh. Yahweh's protected them. He hasn't allowed the enemies to destroy them because it's not Yahweh's will. But in a lot of ways, Israel has not been blessed these 70 years. They've had murder. They've had killing. The other day, Independence Day, it was the day for the fallen soldiers, more than 23,000 soldiers that have fallen here in Israel. Wars everywhere you look. Only 70 years they're a nation. How many wars has they had? And now they're preparing here for a big war that's going to come with Iran in the north, with Iran and with Syria and Turkey and these things. So Yahweh is telling them to turn back. Do not be as your fathers, to whom the former prophets have proclaimed to them, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, turn back now from your evil ways and your evil doings. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, says Yahweh. You know, abortion's illegal here. Homosexuality is legal here. There's a lot of bad things going on in this land that the people need to repent of, that they're not repenting of. Now, let me drop down to verse 8. Now it gets real interesting. I saw at night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. Just like we see. Let's go back to Revelation a minute, right? Revelation. Chapter 6. In verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse went out red. And it was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth. So the red horse, right? First comes the anti-Messiah. First comes the false peace. So they bring this false peace, but what does it do? Does it bring peace? No. It takes peace from the earth. And that they should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a black horse, and the one sitting on it having a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. We'll get into that in a little bit here. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice out of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a pale green horse. The name of the one sitting on it was Death. And Hades followed after him, and authority was given him to kill over the fourth of the earth with sword, with famine, with death, and the wild beast of the earth. So these are the four horsemen. Now in Zechariah, let's look. Zechariah 1 and verse 8. And I saw at night, behold, a man riding on a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees in the ravine. And behind him were red, speckled, and white horses. So we see the same as in Revelation we see here. Then I said, my master, what are these? And the messenger who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are those whom Yahweh has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. These are messengers of Yahweh going to see what's going on. And they answered the messenger of Yahweh who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sits still and is at peace. And to be honest, many people, including myself, thought war may have been before this. But in reality, we've gone 70 years without a world war now. You know, we've had little wars, and Israel's had their share of wars here, but nothing major. And in recent years, you know, even the Lebanon war now is 12 years ago, that everybody, I think, is getting too much relaxed in a peace mode and thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen now, you know. Wow, you know, Russia would never go to war with America. Russia would never, or China will never go to war with America. It's coming, there's no doubt. Yahweh knows the timing. But we see the doors closing in on this. And he's saying they're walking around throughout all the earth, and behold, the earth sits still as in a piece. And the messenger of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, until when will you not have pity on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you have cursed these 70 years? Wow. So here it is, the 70th anniversary of Israel, where the blessing hasn't been totally here because they haven't totally come to Yahweh. And yes, Yahweh's protected them. There's been miracles in the war because Yahweh will not let them be destroyed. It would go against his prophecy. But there is a much bigger blessing Yahweh wants to give the nation that they haven't received yet. So he's saying, when will you not have pity on Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, against which you've cursed these 70 years? And Yahweh answered Aleph Tav, the messenger who was talking with me with good words and words of comfort. So the messenger who was talking with me said, cry out saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Mount Zion with a great jealousy. And the great anger, I am angered at the haughty nations, and that I was a little angry and they gave help for evil. Right? When here it is, President Bush comes out and announces that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. He didn't have to do that. We know that. Yahweh said Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. And most of the nations in the world, 128 nations or whatever, came out and voted against Israel. They voted against. They said, no, Jerusalem is not the eternal capital of Israel. So he says, with great anger, I am angered at the haughty nations and that I was a little angry and they gave help for evil. So Yahweh says this, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassions. My house shall be built, and it says Yahweh of hosts, and a line shall be stretched over Jerusalem. A plummet line. That means measuring for the house of Yahweh to be built. Cry out again, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, my city shall again overflow with goodness, and Yahweh will yet comfort Mount Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, four horns. And who are these horns? Craft masons that are there to divide Jerusalem and the land of Judah. What do we have today? We have an organization that was made up by George Bush, I think it was in 2001, called the Quartet Four of United States, EU, United Nations, and Russia. Their only purpose is to divide Israel, make a Palestinian state, and make Jerusalem international capital for that. So, wow, we're reading prophecy. This stuff is coming off the pages, how this stuff is happening today. And what does he say? He's having compassion to do what? To prepare to rebuild the tabernacle of Yahweh, the temple, the sanctuary of Yahweh. If we go to Amos 9, how do we know we're close to this? Because in Amos 9, Yahweh tells us that in this end time, he is going to bring the captivity of Judah back in Israel. Chapter 9 of Amos, verse 14. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they will build away cities and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them on their land, and they'll never again be pulled up out of their land, which I've given them, says Yahweh. Completely pulled up. So that's the point. Yahweh will not let them completely be taken away. There will be a loss of their sovereignty for a bit here during the reign of the anti-Messiah. But this has already happened. This has happened now for 70 years. And what happens, though, does Yahweh say is going to happen right before that in verse 11? In that day, I will raise up the tabernacle, the sukkah of David that has fallen, and I will wall up its breaks, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as the days of old. And here we are. Just in the last couple of years, the tabernacle of David is rebuilt. They found it. So this is showing from Zechariah that we know now. We see these things happening. You see the false peace that's coming. You see the great falling away. You know, the false doctrines coming around and all these things. And now's the time for the rest of these things to happen. The time for the red horse, the black horse, and the green horse. So let's go back now to Revelation 6. And we'll continue here. Revelation 6 and verse 3, I'll start again here. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse went out, read, and it was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a black horse, and the one sitting on it having a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil of the wine. So we see the second horse that's coming is war, and war will bring famine and pestilence, and ultimately death. Matthew 24, like I said, Matthew 24 is a parallel of the four horsemen. So we saw the first one was deception. Yeshua said, watch. The very first thing he said was deception. People would come in his name to deceive the people, the white horse. And now, chapter 24 of Matthew and verse 6. For you are bound to hear of revolutions and rumors of war, the second horse. Watch out and do not be disturbed. For it is necessary that all these things happen, but it is not yet the end. For nation will be raised against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against many places. But all these are a beginning of sorrows. So we see, we're only in the seals right now. This is just the beginning of sorrow. After the seals, we're going to see. You're going to go into the trumpets, and then you're going to go into the bowls. And there's a lot of time still to come, even from the time that these seals of Revelation are coming off. There's still years that are left, but not many, many years, you know, but at least some years that are left there. So it's the beginning of sorrows that's there. Then, as you're getting into very interesting saying here, a measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, do not harm the oil and the wine. The barley is worth less than the wheat, even today. In Bible times, barley was called poor man's food, even though it was more nutritious. It was just something that even today, they use most of the barley for animals. You know, it's not a big grain. The wheat is the big grain, not the barley. So we see that the wheat is worth more. And he's saying, do not harm the oil and the wine. So I've given messages on this at Sukkot about the grain, the oil, and the wine. The grain, the oil, and the wine show the completeness of Yahweh's blessing, right? Because bread, lechem, is the staple of food. It's always been from the beginning of time. That's the staple of food is grain. You know, that's how you make everything from grain. It's the staple food. So it's like the food of life. And that's why on Fridays, the Jewish people, they take the bread because they were sustained by Yahweh for the week. And they take the wine, which shows happiness and joy. And the oil is used for what? The Holy Spirit is symbolized by oil. It's used for healing and medicinal purposes. So you have the barley and the oil and the wine. Leviticus 26, 26. Leviticus 26, 26. It says, when I break to you the staff of bread, so this is where, you know, the blessings and the cursings, right, that Yahweh has. If you're following my commandments and my statutes and my judgments, I'll bless you. If you're not, I'm going to curse you. And you see in verse 18, seven times more will be your punishment. Verse 21, seven times more will be your punishment. And then he says in verse 26, when I break to you the staff of bread, 10 women shall break your bread in one oven. And shall give back to your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So that's Leviticus. In the punishment of Leviticus, it's saying that if the people are not following Yahweh's Torah, then their bread would be given by weight. Meaningly, you know, and even today, if you go into the market, it's changing a lot in the last 10 years. But some markets, especially in Arab areas, you'll still see they use weights. So you put your apples on the one side, and then they have weights to equal them out. And that's why it says balance weights in the delight of Yahweh. You're not to put weights on the scale. And that's why when you look at the justice system, You know, you'll see it goes by the scales. They say the scales of justice because they're supposed to be equal. They're not supposed to have a false weight like the book of Proverbs talks about. That it says 1 kilo, but it's heavier. It's really not 1 kilo because it's a false judgment. But here it's saying you're going to eat your bread by weight. That there's such a scarcity of grain that usually is everywhere that you're only going to get, you know, for a denarius, you're going to get a measure of wheat for a denarius, you know, not a lot of wheat to be able to eat. And interesting that we're in 2018 now, right, at Passover time. But in 2017, the United Nations actually said that in this, all their years that they've been since 1945, that 2017 was the worst year of famine they ever had. And there's a lot of famines going on in South Sudan, even North Sudan, and Yemen, and Somalia, and even in Kenya. There's parts of Kenya where even some of our brethren, we've had to help in the south because there's no rain, you know, and they're not getting food. So we're seeing this now. Like I said, we're seeing all these horses that are here to a degree, not to the degree of this yet, where they're all going to come together, but we are certainly seeing that the scroll of Revelation is unrolling. Joel 2 and verse 19. Joel 2 and verse 19. Because, you know, also Yahweh is a restorer. And the book of Revelation, we shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't be just looking at all these bad things that are happening. Because as much as there's bad things happening in Revelation to the evil people, the whole book is about restoration. So when you look at the end of Revelation, what you have here is this world is gone. And you have the new heavens and the new earth. You have Yeshua on the earth. You have Yahweh's kingdom here. I mean, it's unbelievable all the things you're having. Like the Garden of Eden again. You know, can you imagine a fruit tree that is going to yield fruit once a month? Every month yield fruit? That's amazing. So it is a book of redemption. And in Joel, which is talking about the day of Yahweh's coming, but he's also talking about the redemption of that. So Joel 2 and verse 19 says, "Yea, Yahweh will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied with it. And I will no longer make you a disgrace among the nations." Drop down to verse 24. "And the floors shall be full with grain and wine, and the wine vats shall overflow with wine and oil." So again, this is showing Yahweh's blessing, right? And without the wine is the complete. That's why at a wedding, you know, the first miracle Yeshua did, the wedding in Cana, what did he do? He turned the water into wine. Because the wine is showing the completeness, the happiness. That's why even the offering, the wine offering, right? What was it? It was an oblation to sweeten the face of Yahweh. Because that's what wine does. Wine sweetens the face. And that's what it's showing here, that the bread, the staple of life, you've got to have the grain. The oil is the Holy Spirit, and also for healing, and then the wine for the happiness, the joy, which is coming there. Alrighty. "And when he opened the fourth seal," verse 7, again now, Revelation 6 and verse 7. "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a pale horse." Really, it's a pale green, like when somebody is sick, and you say, "Ooh, you know, you look like you're ready to throw up. You look pale green." "And the name of the one sitting on it was Death, and Hades followed after him. And authority was given to them to kill over the fourth of the earth with sword and with famine and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth." You know, it's very interesting that when the Arab Spring started back in 2010, and then you know it started with in 2010, and then in 2011, it went over to Egypt. And on the news, you could probably Google this and see it yourself, but they're showing the square there in Egypt where all the people were fighting and protesting. And you actually see like a spirit type being on this green horse and right over, and it's on like a CNN tape or something. It's not doctored. It wasn't added that way. You could watch any of it from the news. And you look at that and say, what on earth is this? I mean, you see this pale green horse, this horse of death that literally, you know, came out there, which was really, really interesting, you know, looking at that. But that's what you see here. The fourth, by the pestilence, by the famine, of course, it's going to bring death. Zechariah 6. Let's go back to Zechariah now. 6th chapter. It says, and again my eyes lifted up, and I looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. So remember in the book of Daniel, right, we had the beast of Daniel that was the head of gold, Babylon, and then you had the silver, and then the copper, and then after that were the legs and feet of iron and clay. So you see that the world system of Babylon, the money system of gold, went from gold to silver to copper to iron, which shows you the whole economic system definitely is going to collapse. There'll be another system, but I mean, that's one of the reasons why there'll be such famine. But this is it. This is talking about it. And with the mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, and with the second chariot, black horses. And with the third chariot, white horses, and with the fourth, dappled, strong-colored horses. So just like we see in the Revelation that we're reading here, we see the same thing coming. If you go to Jeremiah 15, because it also says it's going to kill a fourth of the earth with the sword, with the famine, with death, and by wild beasts. In Jeremiah 15, 2 and 3, when he's talking about Babylon also, Jeremiah 15, verse 2 and 3. And it will be, if they say to you, where shall we go? This is what many people ask me. Well, if you leave Babylon, where do you go? And I always read them this scripture. Then you will tell them, so says Yahweh, those who are for death go to death, and those who are for sword to the sword, and those for famine to famine, and those for captivity to captivity. And I will set over them four kinds, says Yahweh, the sword to kill, the dogs to drag off, the birds of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. So this is it in the end time. You know, you reap what you sow. And, you know, the book of Habakkuk 1:5 says, you know, the evil prosper, you know, and what's going on, Yahweh? And Yahweh says, just wait. You know, just wait and wonder, because there's a work I'll work in your day. You wouldn't believe it if I told it to you. And the evil are not going to prosper forever. And you do need faith to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. There's no doubt about that. And maybe up till now, you haven't shown faith and things are still going good for you, you know, in Western society. But it's not the way you're going to enter the kingdom of Yahweh, you know. And whatever we reap, we're going to sow. And this is what's happening here. The whole earth is reaping what they're sowing. And this is what's happening from that time. And why? Why is this happening? Joel 3. Joel 3 in verse 1 and 2. Joel 3 in verse 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I bring again the exiles of Judah and Jerusalem. We're living in that time. Can you imagine? I'm reading this from the book of Joel, you know, that's written more than 2,000 years ago, you know, 2,000 whatever years ago. And it's saying, for behold, and whenever that happens, it's showing you it's usually prophetic. In those days and at that time, certainly prophetic, meaning the end time. When I bring again the exiles of Judah and Jerusalem, and we're living it, we're seeing that, you know. Israel's a nation again after 2,520 years, which it wasn't before. But look what he also says in verse 2. I will gather all nations, and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's in the Kidron Valley below the city of David. And I will enter into judgment with them there, for my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they divided my land. So what did I tell you? And what did we read in the beginning of Zechariah 1 with the four Freemasons, the four craft masons, right? This quartet, that they're only there to divide Israel and divide Jerusalem. And from prophecy, it's going to happen. The false peace is going to come. The Antimessiah is going to come. He's going to make this peace deal with Israel, force Israel into it, and going to divide the land. But that's not going to bring Yahweh's blessing or peace, it's going to bring Yahweh's wrath, because that's not what Yahweh is doing in the end time. So he says, when that happens, when he brings them, then Yahweh is going to have a controversy with the nations, and that's what's going to bring a lot of the revelation things to it. But it's very interesting, because more than anything, what is a country recognized by, right? What makes you a nation? More than anything, if you were to say something that symbolizes a nation, is their flag. Look at the United States of America. You see the flag. Over here now, it's been Independence Day. Everywhere you go, there's flags everywhere. On the roads, everywhere you go, there's thousands of flags everywhere. And it's very interesting that if you look at the Palestinian flag, and you look at the colors of the Palestinian flag, the colors are white, red, black, and green. So the making of a Palestinian state is literally going to bring the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I mean, wow. Yahweh couldn't have put it any more poetic than that. That as we're reading Revelation, we're seeing this happening now. And like I said, the stuff that's going on in the north is serious. I don't know. I'm not going to make a prediction of when the war is going to come. But I can tell you right now, The war drums are beating, and it could be a year or more, and it could be tomorrow, but it's close. It's close what's coming with Russia and with Turkey and with Iran, and we just got to watch. The Bible says watch and pray. It doesn't say to predict, but we see these things that are coming, and we're looking at Revelation, and we're living it, and to me, I find it so exciting because we're living in this time, and we have eyes to see where many people don't have eyes to see. And as these things are coming, it's bringing doubt, and they're wondering what's going on here. And yet we're reading the Bible, and Yahweh is opening up our eyes to understand it. And what that means is the days to Yahweh's kingdom being set up in this earth are getting closer and closer and closer. So I think I'm going to stop there for today. I think it's a good stopping point at the fourth seal. And next week we'll pick up in the fifth seal and the slain under the altar. But I just think it's so interesting that on the very week that Israel's having their 70th Independence Day, this is the Bible study we're going over. And we're seeing, like it says, 70 years Yahweh has given. Same in Babylon. Yahweh gives Babylon 70 years to rule the nations. That all these things are coming about. And that's why I think 2018 could be a really, really prophetic year in many ways. Last year was a big year with the sign, the Revelation 12 sign, pointing us in a certain direction. And now we're seeing things continue to happen and continue to heat up. So until next week, Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.